the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Today on Exploring the Word, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. We're going to get to chapter 2, but before that, we have a special guest with us in this segment. And Alex, this is an important, important interview to help parents and grandparents to know the dangers of what could happen. And so we want to do this interview, and we're looking forward to it. Let me give her name and the ministry that she's with, and then we'll tell you how AFA is involved. It's Heidi Olson, and she's founder and president of Paradigm Shift Training and Counseling. And so we want to welcome you today, Heidi.
So much for having me.
Okay. Alex, I know you got the information, but we're living in difficult and hard times, not just, you know, concerning the attacks of terrorism, but the attacks on our children. It's very important to be alert and be ready and know how to respond, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. And American Family Studios has a new series titled The Heidi Olson Story. And again, Paradigm Shift Ministries. But Heidi, thanks for making time to be with us. And tell us about your journey and the work that God has you doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a sexual assault nurse examiner. I specifically have taken care of kids in my career. And it's a really unique type of nursing, kind of where nursing meets the criminal justice system. So taking care of kids who've experienced sexual trauma. And in doing that work, I've just seen the numerous ways that pornography is impacting kids, from influencing sexual assault to normalizing exploitation to making kids more vulnerable to victimization. I mean, there's just so many ways pornography is influencing them. And so I've really felt called to speak out against it and to raise awareness and try and protect kids from this.
And where this happened, you were raised in New Mexico, I understand.
Correct.
Okay. And then you moved to Kansas City.
Yes.
Is this where you started seeing the what was happening to our children?
Yeah. So I started being a forensic nurse in Kansas City, but the trends are the same all across the United States.
No matter where?
Exactly. If a kid has access to a device, there is a chance they're going to be exposed to pornography.
Alex, when you hear that, it just alerts you, but it at the same time, AFA is trying and is doing something about that. And that's why we have this impact series, and this is the one, episode 5. And again, it is Heidi's story about what God brought you to and then what he's led you to. And so how long have you been involved in the Paradigm Shift since you left, you know, what you did in Kansas City? I know you're still there, but your ministry's there now. But how long has the ministry been going now?
So it'll be 4 years in May, and which is hard to believe. And I do lots of training, consulting, community awareness projects, anything related to this issue. I'm happy to jump in and help.
Heidi, Alex here. I know you've performed and reviewed over 400 sexual assault cases in a clinical setting. How many of these cases have you examined where pornography played a role in the sexual assault?
So many of them. I mean, honestly, the way that our culture is today, it's really hard to imagine there is a sexual assault that exists where pornography is not playing a role. Mm-hmm. We know pornography deeply impacts the predators or the offenders. They're viewing this content and then they go ahead and act out what they've been looking at, whether that's an adult or a kid. But we also see it playing itself out in that a lot of offenders are filming the sexual assaults and posting them online. They're acting out what they're seeing in pornography. They're using words that are used in pornography. So there's just this huge influence of porn on sexual assault in so many ways.
And you've been able to share this in legislatures. I understand there's 24 different states that have helped along the way about trying to avoid the access that children have to these sites. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So I have testified in a lot of these states, and it's interesting. There's a varied response. Some states are very like, yes, let's protect kids. We need to verify you're 18 before you can go onto these sites. Some states, there's a lot of inaction and really dragging their feet. And some states, I've even heard people that just they're actively putting their head in the sand or saying porn is actually good for some kids to see because how else are they going to learn about how to have sex?
Mm. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, the Bible has so much to say about purity, and not only purity in our actions, but our thoughts. And given that, Heidi, how concerned are you about just how ubiquitous it is? I mean, kids from toddlerhood up have almost unrestrained access to mobile devices, and there's so much that's just unspeakably filthy online. I mean, are we seeing children and youth just grow up and it's almost porn has been normalized because they're just surrounded by it?
Yeah, you named it perfectly. So I would say the two trends I'm seeing with kids, it is so normal. They don't bat an eye at anything related to pornography when you bring it up. With boys, it's really teaching them sexual violence is normal. This is how you're supposed to have sex. It's okay to strangle. It's okay to name call. It's okay to be degrading, to consume. But for females, what it's teaching them is self-exploitation is normal. The goal is to be a porn star because you're watching all of these influencers go on to OnlyFans and these different sites and make millions of dollars. So when you turn 18, you jump on there, create porn, become famous. And we see lots of girls following that trajectory or thinking that's normal. So we're just setting up an entire society where we're normalizing sexual violence, exploitation, and no one's stepping in to say, this isn't okay. We don't want this for our kids.
If you want to know how this started, like in 1957, I was able to preview the close to 25 minutes that this series is. Again, it is the series, episode number 5 in our Impact series. And here's how you can get it and preview it. And I would advise it. It's well done, as our studio always does. Mm-hmm. And you can go to afa.net/protect. afa.net/protect. And for a donation, you can get early access to Heidi Olson's episode. And it will help you to understand. It will expand everything that Heidi has said. And again, we're saying this. AFA is doing something about it. We have a part of AFA, American Family Association. Our radio is one, but the studio is another one. But we also have AFA, you know, Action, which is promoting action and taking the information to lawmakers. It even helps say one of the states, now all of them need to be improved, but of the 26 states that do not have any protection for the children to get online to view this, what an opportunity it is for them to view this. And there's plenty of information out there for is how to start it legally. And then yours is how to help the children, too. So we're coming at this with impact of making a difference legislatively, but also making a difference in the children's lives, aren't we, Heidi?
Yep, absolutely.
So we want you to do that. Again, that is afa.net/protect. And again, it will help you to understand what you need to do. Alex, when I see this and see how God, let me back up a minute. Let me go back to you, Heidi. One of the things that we say, is it too late? You found out even with children that have been exploited, God's grace is great for
yes,
them. Tell
absolutely.
Us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I want to offer hope because the issue feels so huge and daunting and dark, and it is, but we know that God's grace abounds. Like Jesus has already won the war. There is hope. There is redemption for kids who have been exposed to porn, who have experienced sexual abuse. I've seen that in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of kids I've worked with. So I do want to offer that I don't believe this is just a lost cause. Absolutely, there's hope and healing in all of this.
Heidi, let me ask you this. A few months ago, I had never heard of OnlyFans, and now it's just everywhere. And like you say, so many young people and not so young people degrade and dehumanize themselves just to make money, and people pay money to see things that nobody should see. And, you know, marriage and relationships as God designed, just the very idea is perverted. It's very sad. Are there any lawmakers that want to make OnlyFans, illegal or regulate it or just rein in something that is just very, very damaging to human beings? Is there talk about legal recourse for this?
That is such a good question. OnlyFans specifically is based in the UK, so unfortunately it's very hard for us to regulate it.
Okay.
You know, but I think that's such a great question. I have talked to certain legislators that are like, yes, let's ban porn, or, you know, let's not glorify the porn industry, because technically it is legal to create porn on a site like that if you're over the age of 18. But there's really this disconnect, because prostitution is illegal in the United States, but we're saying something like OnlyFans is legal when it's filmed prostitution, right? You're getting paid to perform sex acts. So there is this disconnect where we say some things are okay, but some aren't. We know that really webcamming and things like that truly aren't safe. There's lots of coercion, mental health ramifications, substance use, damage that comes from self-exploitation. And so it's not empowering, even though it's promoted to be that way. So I think it would be great if we did not encourage that, if we really put parameters around to say we want better for our society than this. But no, yes. I don't see it. I don't see people really trying to regulate it.
Well, and let me say this, you know, as a Christian, I mean, I obviously have, you know, deep, deep convictions about this. But I would say, just to even secular people and elected officials, any government has a vested interest in the health of the family and marriage and family and childbearing. I mean, the family is the cornerstone of any society. And Bert and Heidi, I'll say this, being in the ministry 35 years and the pastorate, pornography decimates marriage, and trust is gone. And there's a just warped view of intimacy and love and relationships. Bert, you feel free to chime in. I would argue that our elected officials should be behind the restoration of the family, just for the strength of our homes and the preservation of our country.
Yes, our homes and our children, the next generation, because what Heidi has discovered as she became this individual that would check with these children after the assault. It's happened, and it's not just in the areas, it's all over the United States. So we're coming to a close here on this segment. So here's what I want you to know. You can go to this website. It's afa.net/protect, and you can find out more, because it's about a 25-minute. It doesn't take long to hear it. It is helpful. It will. We're not here trying to, oh, man, what do we do? We're trying to get here so you will know what to do. Because this is something that we need to be proactive in, and we're hoping that today you will feel equipped. So you can go again to this website and find out more information, afa.net/protect. Heidi, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And we appreciate it so much.
God bless the work you're doing.
Amen. Well, she's, again, we appreciate what AFA does, what AFR. We're active sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, helping families, and helping children. That's what we're involved in, and we appreciate all that our leadership does and the challenges that come our way. Well, we're going to be back here, and we're going to dig in to Ephesians chapter 2. You don't want to miss it. This is one of the great passages in all the Bible.
The AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord.
Just to know, thus saith the Lord. And the Lord says this in Ephesians 2:1, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, Bert, Ephesians 2:1, a verb can be past tense. Were, W-E-R-E, not dead in trespass and sin anymore. Might have been, were dead, but now alive, present tense, alive in Christ. Well, welcome to Exploring the Word, and we're going to continue on in the book of Ephesians. Hope you can turn there. And Bert, I appreciate Heidi Olson that was just with us in the previous segment. And I will tell you, my heart is grieved when I hear about the devastation and the damage done by pornography. But praise God, we're serving a God of truth and life, forgiveness and restoration. And I'm praying that that restoration will come to our culture. Aren't you, Bert?
You better believe it, Alex. And again, it's just a horrible, horrible industry. And it makes more money than you'd ever believe from what I've heard others say that's going on here. And so we're trying to make a difference. Pray for us. Pray for Heidi. I guarantee you, it is a spiritual warfare that she has to deal with when she deals mm-hmm. with this. So be praying for her. She's trying to do something about it legislatively, trying to do something about it individually and collectively. So we want to pray for that. Well, Alex, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Let me just set this up and we'll go through it. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 has to do with our old condition, man's condition. And then when you get to verse 4, notice the first two words, but God. So what God did with that old condition, we find out in verses 4 through 10. But a word that you've already mentioned, were dead. Notice another word that is used twice as well in verse 2, in which you once walked. Also, look in verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. Praise the Lord. Just like we were talking about pornography, you don't have to stay in your addiction, the addiction of alcohol. You don't have to stay drugs. You do not have to stay there. God offers you deliverance. And here it is. This is deliverance from sin and death into life and joy, Alex.
I know. You know, there's this old saying, I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. And praise God, I'm not yet what I'm going to be. Like you said, we're dead, once walked, once conducted ourselves. And there's a wording in verse 2, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That's the devil. You know, we often talk about the world, the flesh, and the devil, but the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world. Bert, you don't want to be one of the sons of disobedience. Isn't that something? Now, a son is part of a family. If you become a child of God through faith in Jesus, you are an heir, H-E-I-R, an heir of life. So, you know, the Bible uses a lot of analogies for if you're saved or lost, born again or carnal or unsaved, kingdom of this world, kingdom of God. But the sons of disobedience, Jesus is offering you position in another family, the family of God, and you'd no longer be a son of disobedience, but a born again, made brand new child of the King. That's a good family invitation, isn't it?
Praise the Lord, Alex. And we wanted people to respond to that, say, yes, Lord. Something else you notice here, and it is very powerful. Notice the words. It says, according to the prince of air, you conducted yourself in such a manner. That's what it says in verse 3. You once conducted ourselves. Now, that's a little bit different word. It has the idea of you navigating and you were navigating in the system of the world. Notice that in verse 2, according to the course of this world, the world system, that's what it's talking about. And then according to the prince and power of the air, that is Satan. And then the spirit who now works in who? The sons of disobedience. That's ourself. So we have this, someone has called it the unholy trinity of who we are and what we fight against. The world system going its way, Satan himself, and our own sinful flesh or self. But they can be defeated. They can be overturned. You don't have to give in. You don't have to lose the battle. And so, Alex, what happens is, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. Again, that self. But notice this. We all, the word all, it means all of us, no matter who you are.
Yes.
That's the reason what we were talking about with Heidi is so hideous. The pornography that is available to children. And again, the vulnerability of this. And so, listen, we need to let Jesus be Lord of our lives now, early on. If your children or your grandchildren, make much of Jesus. Let Jesus be known unto them. So, Alex, here it is. Man's condition, it is difficult. It is hard. You walk according to, you do the conducting of yourselves. It's a downward unless it intervenes, and God has intervened for us when he sent Jesus, lived that life, went to the cross, overcome sin and death at the resurrection. So there's hope, isn't there?
There is great hope, and this is just so precious. I know many of these verses will be very familiar to a lot of people. You know, chapter 2 is going to go and talk about how we are brought near by his blood, and it's going to say in the latter verses how Jesus is our peace, Jesus is our cornerstone. But let me read this. You know, it talks about the sons of disobedience and the children of wrath. Verse 4, as you mentioned, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to come back to verse 6, but let me read on a bit. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And of course, 8 through 10 is very well known. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, nobody can brag about how much they did to get themselves saved. We can only glorify and boast in Jesus, but it's not of any of our own personal work. And verse 10, Bert, I think I learned this in Vacation Bible School as a little kid. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's powerful, isn't it?
It really is. When you put this together, notice how it walks. In other words, look at verse 2, in which you once walked. Now look at the last verse, verse 10, beforehand that we should walk in them. Listen, we should walk in his workmanship for us. Go back again in verse 4, who is rich in mercy. God has sufficiency to overcome the old condition. He's rich in mercy. It's not lacking. It's available. It's not dragging the very bottom of it that he's barely has enough to save you, to deliver you. No, he's rich in mercy that he can bring you out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay, set your feet upon the rock and put a new song in your heart and establish your going. So God is able to do that. And it's why? Because of his great love with which he loved us. Alex, his love for us is demonstrated in mercy and grace. He wasn't sufficient to stay in heaven and send the law, showing God's love, restraint, giving God's prophets word of what God could do for them. He sent his son. That's the love of God. It's not limited in just, okay, it's I'll, to love you and deliver you, man, I have to scrape down. No, he's rich and plentiful in mercy, isn't he?
Amen. Amen. There's a word that appears twice in verse 6. I think it's an adverb. It says, has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Bert, now let me comment on this for a second, because it's not by works. Your relationship with God is not predicated on how much money you may or may not have. It's not predicated on how good you've tried to be, or your family name, or maybe you come from a long line of Christians. Every born-again believer has to come to God in repentance and faith. And that's why, you know, the old saying, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. God has so much to say about together. You know, and isn't it beautiful that we are raised up together, the body of believers? I mean, Billy Graham got saved the same way as any of the rest of us. You know, from the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, and John, to D.L. Moody and David Jeremiah. I mean, you know, we are all just one, and there'll be no boasting in heaven. There'll be plenty of praising the risen Savior, glory to the Lamb. But I don't know, Bert, Jesus is the great uniter and the great equalizer too, isn't he?
He is, and that together, it is together with him.
Amen.
It's not just us separate. No, we're together with him. And notice verse 7, in the ages to come. Now, Paul would write this letter, most folks in the 60s AD, could be 50s, but 60, somewhere in there. And in ages to come, from generation to generation, and listen, the richness, and I'm trying to connect verse 7 with verse 4 about the riches of his mercy, Alex, and then exceeding riches of his grace in verse 7. It says rich and full in 2026 as it was when Paul was writing this.
Amen.
It is just as real. It is just as real. That's exactly right. And that's ages to come. In other words, from age to age, we don't have a place, oh, it stops. No, his mercy and his grace for those of us who come to him by faith, by grace, through faith, turning from our way, turning to him, surrendering to him as Lord. Listen, the riches of his grace and in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, God, yes, he is a God that it understands, that knows judgment is real. But what really he desires is kindness toward us when we turn toward him. That's what he desires. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's kindness toward us, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, this might not seem so huge to us today, but in the ancient world, talking about being right with God, if you weren't a Jewish person or part of Israel, I mean, you just didn't really have any hope because you were non-Jewish. Now, what's fascinating is verse 11, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, there are four U.S. states that call themselves a commonwealth. And Bert, maybe you learned this in civics. Everybody knows the Commonwealth of Virginia. When I lived there going to Liberty, we always heard it called. But there's Kentucky, Massachusetts, and Pennsylvania that are called a commonwealth. And you know what that is? That's a grouping around, you know, yes, it's societal, but it's convictional. And here, and the ancient Latin word means gathered together for the common good. Okay. The Commonwealth of Israel How were you a part of that? Well, you were the circumcision of the male babies meant that you believed in the covenant, the new covenant of the coming Messiah. And Gentiles just were out of luck, except in Jesus, Bert. We're grafted in. And I know nowadays we probably doesn't carry a whole lot of impact, but to be an uncircumcised Gentile was a state of hopelessness. But now, in Christ Jesus, verse 13, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Really, this is such joy and hope and promise. If we could really internalize it, we ought to turn cartwheels of joy.
Amen. Now, this salvation, notice what we've been studying as we kind of put it, hopefully, and what somebody tied up in a bowl. In verses 1 through 3, we find out the old condition. This is the way we were, all of us. Notice us, we all. Verses 4 through 10 talks about our new condition, alive in Jesus Christ. And then it amplifies, I believe, what he said in verse 10, his workmanship. He continued. That means his masterpiece. We're like on a canvas, and he is doing that. And it says, now we've been reconciled, not just the Jews, but as Alex has so well said, brought the Gentiles in and grafted in. That's what we have in Christ. I pray you have that in that relationship with him. Well, we're going to take phone calls, and that number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We would love to have your Bible question today.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis, while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped to rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest trial and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when strife cease.
Amen, amen. It's just hard to cut some of these songs off. Thank you, Brent. Well, we've got people that's lined up ready to call or ready to ask their question. They've already called. And so, Alex, let's go straight to the phone lines and get as many as we can today. Okay. And let's go to Michigan and talk to Jacob. Jacob, thank you for calling Exploring the Word. Go right ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon. I appreciate you taking my call, as always. And, I got a quick question, and that was, when I'm praying with other believers, I'll sometimes hear them say they'll ask God to fill them with the Holy Spirit. And my question is, why do we pray this when we've already been blessed? We as believers have been blessed with the Holy Spirit.
Okay, good question, Jacob. Let me share with you. All believers have been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. It's called the indwelling. God comes into our lives through the person of the Holy Spirit, but there is a filling of the Holy Spirit where the Holy Spirit, I would say, floods And the word that it's really used is nautical. Alex, I'll do this real quick and I'll throw it to you. It's a nautical term. It's like lifting up your sails and letting the wind, which is another word for spirit there, as you see in the book of Acts at the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit just fills those wings. So I can visualize myself, Jacob and Alex, just hold up my life as I would hoist a sail on a sailboat. And I already have the sail, but the Holy Spirit moves and fills and directs and empowers us. So, Jacob, there's the indwelling that every believer has, and then there's the filling that we have when we open ourselves up to Him in confession of our sin and obedience to Him, and Him filling us and using us. Alex, go right ahead.
Well, wonderful, Bert. And, sir, one of the greatest questions you could possibly ask, if there's two chapters that I think will help you, and we're in Ephesians 5 and Galatians 5, really. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, I think, for the individual believer, includes consciously avoiding things that quench the Spirit. You know, 1 Thessalonians tells us not to quench the Spirit of God in our life. And then, you know, that's 1 Thessalonians 5:19, not to grieve the Holy Spirit is also in Ephesians 4:30. So, like you say, just as a sail is full of the wind and it propels the boat, I think the filling of the Holy Spirit basically means that as far as you know, your thoughts, your actions, your plans, your priorities, even your emotions are yielded to the loving, holy promptings of God.
Amen. So, Jacob, I look and say you have a prayer request. Could you give that to us really, really quick so we can get to the other callers? But we want to pray, brother, if you want us to.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, I appreciate that. That was very well articulated as well. If you wouldn't mind praying for my sister right now, she's going through a pretty tough legal case, and she's in the education system. I'll just keep it brief, and you know that's what it is. She's okay. Just God's guidance for her.
Okay, we'll do it. Mm-hmm. Father, I pray for Jacob. Thank you for that call. And Father, thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit that lives in each believer. And then I thank you for your filling that you give for living in a powerful way, and not just going our way, but going your way. And then I pray for Jacob's sister, Father. It's tough being in the education system, and I thank you for those believers that are doing everything they can to make a difference, even in difficulty. And I pray for her right now, Father. Give strength, and I pray, Father, that there would be a resolution. And I pray it would be one that would be good and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, amen. Jacob. Let's go to Kentucky. Steve, thank you for calling. Go right ahead, brother.
Yeah, good morning. Good afternoon, Bart and Alex. I have a question I wanted to ask you. I am a Jewish believer, and my wife and I belong to a Baptist church. And I had struggled with so-called Messianic Jewish congregations. I never felt comfortable in there, even though, you know, I grew up in it and was bar mitzvahed and everything. But it felt like it was just like what I grew up in. And so at what point is Messianic Judaism kind of cross the line into what you would call modern-day Judaizers?
Steve, great. Alex, great question. Again, I'm familiar with some. You're familiar with quite a bit. Listen, going through the rituals that were in that about trying to make it more Jewish, I don't see that would be what was needed, Alex. What about you?
Yeah, first of all, God bless you, my dear brother in Christ, and it is always a great privilege to hear from Jewish believers in Jesus. And let me say, and I'll maybe preface this by saying, you'll never meet two guys that are more pro-Israel.
Amen.
And we love the Jewish people. That being said, I have met not only Messianic Jewish believers that maybe get a little too much into the Hebraic elements of our faith, but more often than not, the ones that become almost Judaizers are Gentiles that are believers that really get enamored with the Jewish history. And here are two words, and I'll be very brief, but they'll say, oh, the Christian faith has been made Hellenistic, that's Greek, with all their logic and propositional truth claims, and we have to get back to the Hebraic elements of our faith. We have to read the Bible through Hebraic eyes, and the feasts and the rituals, and it gets added on. And I'll just say this, I'll throw it back to you, and Bert, you feel free to disagree if I'm overstating things. I love the history of the Bible. Salvation came through the Jewish people. Jesus Christ is Jewish, but the gospel for the entire human race is that Jesus is God the Son, the Messiah. He fulfilled all the criteria. He is the Savior. He paid our debt on the cross, and by trusting in Him, plus nothing, minus nothing, that's how we're converted. We put our faith in Jesus. Now, if a believer wants to be very much into the feasts and all that, go for it. But it doesn't have to be normative for all believers. And so if you hear these words Hebraic or Hellenistic, don't worry about it. You're a believer in Jesus. According to the scriptures, you're saved. Plus nothing, minus nothing.
Amen. Well said. Steve, listen, if God is using you where you are in that Baptist church, and listen, and their doctrine is lining up with Jesus and New Testament teaching, praise the Lord, and stay there and minister until the Lord moves you somewhere else, brother. I know I'm giving more advice than I usually do, but I think you're in well said, and you don't have to look for that. But the Jews that I've known that had some, they've helped me, and I as a pastor, to understand it better, not by them practicing, but by them teaching and sharing, and it's made it more fulfilling to know about Jesus, and that's been helpful. Thank you, Steve. Let's go to Oklahoma. Kristen, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. How are y'all doing?
Doing well today. Thank you.
Good. Good. I don't really have a question. I just wanted to be a voice of encouragement. You were talking earlier, Bert was talking earlier about how our old man is old, and even people who have addiction can be born again and saved and be freed of that addiction. And I just wanted to say, I was strung out on meth for about a decade, and I went to rehab. I got clean October 19th, 2007. And as I was driving there, I told God, if I'm going to waste money, if I'm not done completely, Lord, blow up my engine, blow out a tire, don't get me there. I didn't even have to stop to use the restroom. So when I got to rehab, I said, okay, God, I take it. And I have never once turned back. And I believe that He has released me from the sin of addiction, and I'm free. And other people can be free.
Preach it, Kristen. Amen. Listen, we take praise reports, and it was 2007, Kristen, when that date occurred, 2007, am I right?
Yes, sir.
19 years, free, and free indeed. Hallelujah. Alex, I think we need to have a prayer. We pray for things. Sometimes we need to have a prayer of praise. Would you mind leading us in this for Kristen? I agree with you. You've been set Amen. Free, and keep it up. No turning back. No turning back. Go ahead, Alex.
Let me pray. Father God, we do rejoice. We celebrate with Kristen being set free. And Lord, in Isaiah 61, you came to set the captives free. And John 8:32, that the truth will set us free. And the truth is we are complete in you. Colossians 1. And so, Lord, I rejoice that our sister in Christ, drugs have no hold on her. And Lord, I'm just praying right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. There are probably people out there listening, and Satan has dangled a lure in front of their eyes. And they might have been ensnared in a lot of ways. But Lord, would you set people free today? They would put their trust in you and give people hope that with Jesus it can be a brand new day. And you're as close by as a prayer. So you are the Savior, the one who restores us. You are the one who sets the captives free. Do that this day. We praise you, just like you did in the life of Kristen and so many, many others. Lord Jesus, rescue the perishing, save the lost, set people free. And we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Kristen, thank you for calling. You've blessed us. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Tracy. Tracy, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you all for what y'all doing and taking my call. I had a situation where I've been giving my 10% here in the last 3 or 4 months, you know, regular. Glad to do it, too. Makes me feel good. But before that, it was here and there, and a little bit here and a little bit there. Well, about a month ago, after I had been given my 10%, I lost my wallet. So, was it, you know, Lord said in the Word, if you give money to me, you know, I'll make sure I keep the devil away from your money, the devourer. And then, so was it something I was doing wrong, or maybe had a bad attitude about it, or how's that work?
Okay, Tracy, let's go through this, the possibilities. Sometimes it is correction. A lot of things that doesn't go our way is correction for us. Many times it is that of teaching us. Okay, what do we do now? Now, listen, testing is for us. And right now I would say the testing is there. God already knows it. God knows who we are, but he tests us so we'll know who we are. So when something difficult happens that, oh man, look what has happened, will we come back and say, okay, God, I don't want to turn around and go the opposite way. I don't want to go in a different way than where you were taking me. I want to go your way. Alex, testing, and sometimes it's hard to know, is it discipline or testing? And but it's difficult usually, and we want to make the right decision, don't we?
Absolutely. You know, in Malachi 3:11, well, I would encourage people to read Malachi 3:8-12. And it warns us not to rob God in our tithes and offerings. And verse 11 says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground." You know, Bert, you can give your tithe to the church. And listen, we've often said this, I would rather have 90% with God's blessing than try to withhold 100% in a state of disobedience. But you still, on Monday after you tithed on Sunday, the transmission still might go out. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily in sin. And the word devourer could mean, you know, that which consumes. In this fallen world, stuff happens. But I'll say this, God is faithful. And when you're honoring God with your finances, somehow or another, he's just going to make it work out, isn't he, Bert?
He really does. Brent, good job. He said, praise God, even when the money runs out.
Yes.
Thank you, Brent, for that. Well, Alex, it's been good. Tomorrow, Fire Away Friday. We always look forward to that, don't we?
all questions all the hour. So have a question ready. Get ready. I'm going to even give the number, 888-589-8840. And we look forward to hearing from each and every one of you tomorrow. In the meantime, tell somebody about Exploring the Word, AFR. Most of all, though, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.